I thought it was just like, since when does everyone get a cult? Since when is this a fucking panda cult to any fucking vegan fucking vegetarian person? Like, oh, I'm going to start killing people to help the environment. What is this? Come on. Like, Stephen, you're taking this away from me. I had a cult. I've got a cult for you. And you're like giving everyone a cult card. At this point, it's no longer a cult. It's just groupies. We're just groupies now.
That's so funny, man.
He's taking away from me.
Everybody a cult card. I'm dying right now.
Welcome to Ashes Pathfinders, your dedicated and trusted Ashes of Creation podcast. Join us as we share in the journey that reignites the embers and rekindles the flames in the hearts of those long left to cinder. I'm your host, Simorg. I'm joined today by our returning Pathfinders. Everyone, welcome back. Rash and Herald, Daedalus.
Hello, everyone.
And welcome back, everybody's favorite cult leader, Armored Cell.
Hello, hello. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you, man. Both you guys, actually. Armored Cell, we got to find out what you think about the last cosmetic set. But before we do that, before we dig in, got to give a shout out to all of you all that join us live. Remember, you can catch us live. You can watch us on... Oh, that's really awesome. The names are switched, huh? That's great. I'll fix that shortly. Anybody?
Yeah, we're both Daedalus now.
It's okay. Will the real Daedalus please stand up? Anyway, I'll fix that shortly. But before we begin, got to give a big shout out to the host podcast over at AshesHQ.com, the community curated website for all things Ashes of Creation. Also, shout out to the Imperial Flames, which are the supporters here on Twitch and YouTube. Thanks so much for keeping this community's flames bolstering greater week after week. Speaking of this week, if you'd like to do us a solid and go over to our social media over on Twitter and check it out at Ashes Pathfinder, right there pinned to the top, you'll see all the podcast places, and there you will be able to go check out the podcast in audio form, YouTube, wherever you prefer. You can always catch us here live Fridays at 5:30 on my other channel, which you'll have to catch Discord to get that info if you don't know which one it is. Why don't we kind of just jump on in? How's everybody been doing since the last time? We're going to be finishing up on some of the bullet points from the developer live stream, but we'll kind of start off by catching up and then kind of get Armored Cell's feedback on the last cosmetics.
Yeah, for me, it's been a good week. Outside of today had a little bit of car trouble that created some issues for me. But gaming-wise, I've been really digging in and having fun with Starfield. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking forward to like when it really opens up from modding, but so far, you know, I'm really enjoying the story and a lot of it, just even just doing the side stuff is like, it's a very rich story, rich, RPG. And I'm really glad that I got it, knowing that, you know, there's been, I would say, some stigma with, you know, Bethesda for a while, but I'm really glad I got it. And then my girlfriend and I tried The First Descendant the other day, and I actually thought that was pretty fun. You know, definitely it's nothing I would say new, but it was fun to be able to kind of spend some time playing that. So yeah, it's a couple of things I've been working on.
Right on. What's your Armored Cell?
Me and my friends, we've been playing a bit of Gloomhaven. So that was great, good fun. I'm loving the board game that we've been back into. I am also going to be doing another Baldur's Gate game with a few guildies. So I do have a bit of a problem with Baldur's Gate at the moment, where I just constantly make a new campaign and I just cannot get enough of it. With Starfield, man, I'm really keen for Starfield. I'm just waiting for like more modding support, more mods to come into it. So then I wanted to have like you know, someone's gonna mod it to be Star Wars, right? You know, someone's gonna do it.
They already have. That happens, not totally, but they had one mod where it changed all the guards into stormtroopers.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
and that's funny. I can't wait till they mod it to Star Wars, and I'll like to be. Let's be real. Like, the reason why Skyrim's around now is because of the modding community. Like that, they sort of built it. So as soon as Starfield gets that modding community like built up behind it again, it's going to be a totally different game, and I think it's going to be a whole new thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna What have I been doing this past week? We've been doing a little bit of revision for my book. I haven't gotten nearly as much done as I wanted to get done, though. But I've also been kind of on the grind with content creation stuff on my main channel, Simorgh. And yeah, I've been doing that a lot. I've had a lot of different games I've been trying. Liza P is like a Souls-like game, is really interesting. Really liked it. Checked out the first Descendant. I kind of like it, but I kind of have a hard time playing games that have like the gameplay loop that kind of just is really repetitive. It's just generally a me thing. Some people are good with grinding on games like that. I kind of get bored of it. But I definitely think it has a lot of potential. What else did I do this week? Yeah, I played a bunch of games, but I'm looking forward to this weekend because I'm going to be doing a more focused revision on my manuscript. And this is like pretty much my last big revision right now I'm working on. So I'm kind of going in and adding polish and all the little details and changing some things, you know, in terms of like development or like story or little details and things like that. So kind of in the final stretch right now, pretty much going on a kind of vacation to the Oregon coast in like October. So between now and then, I'm pretty much grinding that, doing content, and then doing the podcast, watching Ashes stuff. I saw that you guys were doing the Baldur's Gate gameplay in the guild there. That was pretty cool. I saw the other day that they needed one more person. I was like, I'd do it, but it's after this today and I'm going to be doing other stuff right now. So unfortunately, I'm kind of SOL. But Baldur's Gate 3.
I'm always keen to make a new campaign. I'll never stop that.
There might be a point, though, in the future. I don't know what day or what, but there's probably going to be a period in between my books, right? Because I'll have like a 1 month or so period there where I'll have time to do that. And I might just end up doing like a gameplay session with people who can join or whatever on this channel here and just play it to do it for funsies. Because I played it with my partner and her and I have been playing it. And man, it's so good. Such a good game, man. It really is. Such a good game. They did such a good job with it.
I'm so keen to, like, as soon as I beat the game, I'm going to be installing mods for it. There's a mod called adding an Artificer class.
Yeah.
And that's because we're going to make it Baldur's Gate with Americans in it. Because, like, you get your own, like, Artificer is like steampunky. So they can cast spells through guns and stuff.
Ooh.
It's so cool. Artificers are great. They're like little magical tinkers.
You get little tinkers to join in on the fun, huh?
Yeah, no. So when you say Lazelle from the cage.
Oh, yes.
This is like Artificer in 30 seconds, and it's just like a dwarf pulling out a revolver and just shoots the tieflings.
Really? Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I got Armored Cell's care package. I ate the Marmite. That's like from New Zealand or whatever. I actually ate that. And my girl was like, she was like, try it by itself. And I was like, I don't want to. She was like, just do it. And she was like peer pressuring me a lot about, oh, come on, do it. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. So I basically did it. And I tasted it first. And I was like, ooh, effing disgusting. No way. And then I tried it with butter on toast. So I put butter toast, and then I put a thin layer over it. That actually blends in better, but I still was like, there's a really weird aftertaste to this.
It's good with cream cheese, too. Like, I had, like, Vegemite, so okay. It's similar. I'm not going to say the same because it's similar. And actually, Armored Cell gave, like, offline here, gave a good idea because I'm like, I'm still, like, I remember trying Vegemite before, and it was, like, kind of that same experience you had. And I was thinking, like, how can I ease myself into it? He's like, well, you can, like, add it to stews and stuff. I'm like, there you go.
Oh, wow. There's high nutritional value in it, though. I looked at the back. I was like, damn.
Yeah, very, very good for you. It's you got to love the salt. It's very salty.
Yeah, it is. Sort of like the tears of my enemies. I have been playing CS2 a bunch.
You mean innocent? The tears of the innocent.
No.
One thing I've noticed is a little disorienting for both all y'all is it's too light in both of your rooms. I'm used to the darkness on either side of me and me being the light, and now it's a little disjointed. So I'm like, did I wake up in the Twilight Zone or something? What happened? because there's too much light behind your behind the scenes on both of you.
So I feel like that was a little like that feels like enabling the potential dark side of someone. Just want to say that. So put that out there. It's what it sounds like to me.
I mean, if the cloak fits.
I'll send you some, like some red lights to your house.
Yeah, that's what you need, bro. You just need some red lights, bro.
I'm serious. I need to get some LEDs so, like, one day I can be like, you know, have the, like, red lights in there and just hey, be like...
October's coming up, bro. You know, you never...
I know, yeah.
You well, never know.
Yeah, I might pull the trigger on that, get it all set up.
I might need to get a new costume. Unless I'm going to bring out the old costume.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Man. This is, like, showing me that my camera's dweedle over here on its side or something. Really jacked up. That's fine. That's fine. Oh, there we go. That's yep, better. I was yep, like, yep. What in the hell is going on with my camera? It's all tilted. Dude, yeah, it's been a crazy week. Daedalus and I, last week, we talked about their final, we called it last call. It's like the last call for cosmetic packs for Ashes of Creation. Cosmetic packs, pre-order packs, not necessarily cosmetics, because that is going to be a thing with their store now. I was curious. This one had a lot of cult vibes to it. Curious what you thought about it, Armored Cell.
Okay, I've been brewing over this for about a week now because yeah. I listen to, of course, I listen to the podcast whenever I'm not on, right? Of course I do. And can I? I thought cults were special. Okay, I thought it was just like, since when does everyone get a cult? Since when is this a fucking hand a cult to any fucking vegan fucking vegetarian person? Like, oh, I'm going to start killing people to help the environment. What is this? Come on. Like, Stephen, you're taking this away from me. I had a cult. I've got a cult for you, and you're like giving everyone a cult card. At this point, it's no longer a cult. It's just groupies. We're just groupies now.
That's so funny, man.
He's a taking cult away card. From me.
Everybody a cult card. I'm dying right now.
And saying that, though, I did buy the pack. But that's not the point. The point is I'm still annoying everyone to go to the cult.
Like, I still bought it. I'm just saying. That's fun, man.
Everyone's becoming a cult now.
Yeah, you get a cult and you get a cult. I don't know, man. It feels Death Knight. Armored Cell, I was talking about this last week. It feels Death Knight from World of Warcraft with the I do feel like there's uniqueness, because like how normal will it be to get some of those like pets slash mounts? Yeah. I don't know though, man. I'm like pretty torn if whether or not I'm gonna or not. I don't know, man.
I mean, that caravan's a bit weird though, right? Like, you'd have to like,
yeah,
imagine, like, you have to open up the rib cage and you walk into it or something. Like,
did you notice something unique about that the mount? And if you go back and look at oh yeah, Day-Day, it's happening.
Oh, is this gonna be like another leg bone conversation?
It's exactly what it is, dude. He had a third leg sort of thing if you look at it. So if you kind of look at it, he looks like he's dragging it while he's packing on the ground. So he's got like, you got the creature in the front, you got the second half, the back half of it there, and then somewhere in between you get like this stray leg that's kind of also walking on the, could be the left, right side, middle, I don't know. And you're just kind of like, yeah. So, haven't gotten over the trauma of last week's leg bone discussion. Just go with it, man. It if the shoe fits, the cloak fits, if the bone fits. It's a good conversation.
But am I wrong? Where the whole thing is like they do blood sacrifices to help with crop growth and all the rest of it. Like, it's all like sacrificial.
Basically, they're as vegan as a cult's gonna get when they kill people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's a cult card in chat. They're fantastical.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
At what point does a cult become a religious order, by the way? Do I need like a certain amount of followers or groupies, or how many people do I need before I become a recognized
religion? The new Messiah. Like, yeah, the new Messiah. Exactly right. I feel like Armored Cell's like, Steven, bro, I was praising the sandal, the Stevenism. Yeah. Like, now you're giving me too many options. I might have to choose another path. Maybe I want to be Messiah. Like, I don't know.
I feel like it's no longer be like, it'll be when you're signed into like a node, it's gonna be like name, age, sex, and then it's gonna be like cult, religious, and then it's like, because like everyone's gonna have their own cult, so you go, oh yeah, I'm part of this one. Cults must be secret. What?
Keep it secret, keep it safe. Like the One Ring. Yeah. What?
Bird's the word.
Bird's the word, yeah. So we gotta pick up on our discussion here. Do we have any strong indicators about next week's developer live stream? Which, by the way, gonna be next Friday. What 11 a.m. PDT, if you don't already know. And basically previously we usually were doing our shows on Sundays, but now we're Friday, so it's Friday, September 29th. Wait, is that actually, yeah, that is. Wow. For some reason I thought it was the 30th, but yeah, the 29th of September, next Friday. And you'll be going, what is that? You'll have to just go with the Fraternal Order of the Rose to be unique. That's funny. But yeah, next Friday. So we're going to do our first podcast on our new day and time after the developer live stream. So we're going to have a short amount of time to digest the info. Me probably more than others, because I get done live streaming at 5 on Fridays. And I don't know, man. Maybe I should do my live stream a little earlier so I got myself like an hour leeway. Maybe I'll do that to do that, because I've got to like absorb the information and I'm not going to be watching it live because I stopped doing the watch parties on that channel now. Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I don't know what they're going to be focusing on specifically.
I do.
Do you? Let's talk about it.
Yes. It's going to be world events. So, like, could be like the whole waves and sieges and stuff. Not sieges, but like the whole like waves of enemies attacking the
horde mode sort of stuff that they were talking about. Well, we were considering the horde mode discussion. Yeah, that's
we thought it might be the horde mode type thing.
So basically, he's going to be elaborating more on what he talked about in the podcast he joined a week and a half, 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, the discussion round. Yeah.
Ah, man. I guess I'm not really super excited about that now. I'm kind of a little bummed, I guess. I'm cautiously
optimistic because, like, at the end of the day, like, there were some things that we were like, okay, hey, we're doing this, and then like, maybe it's gonna be okay, and then they ended up blowing us away. So I'm just gonna say I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, it might be something new we haven't seen before. I mean, it might be like deeper dive than what we've seen before. But yeah, I do agree. It's like there's definitely other things that I feel like I want to know more about, but you never know, right? They might surprise us. So
they do sometimes.
There's a few things we could learn from it. Like, for example, Steven might do some shenanigans and use a monster coin that we haven't seen yet, and he takes control over one of them.
That'd be cool.
Show us the degradation or like the destruction of the node from the raid sort of thing. Like there are some other elements that this could show, not just like wave one, wave two, wave three sort of scenario. It might be a new mob type we haven't seen yet.
True.
Might be a new area, because they normally like to show, like, they don't really say where they are, but they sort of show new parts of the realm.
That's true. New part of the map. That's true.
I'm hoping they'll show what triggers the event too, but
that would be fun to watch. That would be interesting, because I feel like that would give people a more organic idea about how, like, being in the world could potentially, like, trigger events and things of that nature.
Yeah.
It's tough for me to know how to feel about their trajectory right now, real talk, because, and I'm not bashing anything, all right? I'm as all in as somebody goes into this game, just like many of you, but it's like, we were going to get, remember early last year, 2022, we talked about the character creator getting in the hands of people not long after, and that was like winter into spring area or something. Like, it was probably spring at that point. But that didn't happen, and it's like, but we're like over a year later now, and that still hasn't happened, and like, you know, I'm my optimistic guesstimation is that we're probably going to be at the point where we're going to get Alpha 2 about a year from now. I feel like probably next summer is a pretty solid like earliest guesstimate. Probably a little earlier than now. I'd say probably summertime, early or late. I don't know. But yeah, I'm like, it's hard for me to know a trajectory because I feel like there's so many things that they potentially could be showcasing before we get to Alpha 2. And there's certain things I kind of am like, again, expecting we probably would, they would probably want to show off before that. But at the same time, it's also like, yeah, but how much are they really planning to let us see?
Yeah.
You know, before they're go have fun with it.
It's almost it's almost like teasers almost, right? Like,
yeah.
They're not showing us the entire node development, but they're showing us parts of it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a tease to the Alpha 2 of what, and on the Alpha 2, so they're not showing us all of the node stuff, they're not showing us all the raid mechanics, but they're showing some of it, see, like, that'd give you a taste.
Yeah. Hard to know, man.
Like that's why even the Tower of Carthen, right? They didn't go all the way up. They didn't go show any sort of like mechanics up top. But they showed like around the area. It was like a tease. Like a lot of these, it shows you a taste.
Right,
gives you a bit of flavor of what they're going for, but they're not giving you the entire burger. If that makes sense, like
it's a very vertical slice approach, is what I see keep doing, and. And I'm expecting that's intentional for a number of reasons, right? Mm. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, competition. And also, there's things that are still, like, they're making some decisions, right? If they know that if they know that Alpha 2 is months away, I mean, that, to me, feels like there's a lot of iteration that needs to happen with maybe some of the core mechanics.
Yeah.
And plus the fact that, you know, they need to... I feel like they're more in Alpha 2 content focused than other games. So that also is, you know, I guess where I feel like maybe it's taking some more time. I expect we're going to get more content than we would normally get in any other because of that. Yeah. And because of the fact that Unreal gives them a lot more flexibility. But I do feel like what's holding them back is some of that content, but it's also some major like testing milestones in order to get us there. Because I feel like based on what they've communicated, everything isn't going to be there day one Alpha 2. Like there's going to be things they're going to bring in, and I think that's okay. To a point, you want to try to get as much in Alpha 2 as you can up front, potentially, so that you're not introducing a lot of change like towards the end of the cycle, because then that means you need to do more testing. So, I guess I'm reserving the right. I think like summer makes sense for them. I'm hoping they do smaller spot tests earlier, just to at least get some of the major things that are always going to be there, like major bugs that are always going to be there before they launch it and open it up to the public. Because we know once it goes wide, no NDA, you know, it's going to be like a first impression type of thing, right? Just like Alpha 1 was, and then I wouldn't say Alpha 0 wasn't, but Alpha 1 was definitely. Where you had, you know, definitely like a good bit of balanced feedback. So yeah, I mean, I feel like there's still like some things that they're working on in terms of core systems, and that's what's causing it. And some of that is there's content too that they want to be able to put in so that you can test some of these systems. But I guess what we have seen, and this is maybe where I feel like, I don't want to say I'm concerned because that's not the right word, but I feel like there is a lot of complexity that they're building in. I mean, they talked about the husbandry system, all these systems with the nodes that they talked about. I mean, there was a lot there. I mean, it was info overload, and I don't think I got all of it even after watching it three or four times. There's just a lot there. So I feel like that is going to take a lot of internal testing to get right too. Cause I think the time they're taking is needed, but it does like similar to what you're saying, Sim, it does feel like they still need to cover some ground before they're going to be ready.
Yeah.
And so some of the comments maybe earlier last year felt a little premature, like about the character creator, for example. Ooh. Like that one felt like it was sooner than like now.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah.
So, but also there's, again, there might be a lot of stuff they're not showing because they want some surprises.
Right. Yeah.
I do hope before Alpha 2 hits that we do get more of the archetype showcases, because I think those were fun and I think they've come into a good rhythm with those. And I would love to see some of the others before then. So while it won't necessarily like be a true spoiler, at least give you like you said, like a flavor of it.
Right.
Yeah. We also got to remember that they constantly upgrade the engine as well.
Yeah.
Like they've recently gone up to 5.2. They plan on finishing going up to 5.3 in the year. So that's what Steven said on Discord. So they are still going up the stages. They're not yet stopping. So I'm not sure how much extra that's adding. I think the changing from the last engine to Unreal was a big hurdle, but since it is going up integrations, I'm pretty sure that's a lot simpler than what I'm no game designer, but from what I understand is they're not really that concerned. Like they're not being like, hey, this is a big move. It's just like, hey, we're just going up to the next update. Like we're going 5.3 now instead of 5.2.
Right.
Like it doesn't really seem, they're not really making a big deal out of it. So I don't think if they're not making a big deal, we should make it a big deal.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. I think I'm glad they're doing that. Because one of the biggest problems you have in any alpha is optimization. That's what really stops testing, because people crash, people freeze, all that stuff. That gets in the way of actually truly testing something. So anything they could do to make that more stable and make it easier to run on like the more potato builds, I think is good, because then you get more testing feedback. Again, I don't think I'm wrapped around the axle to wait. I mean, I would say, if you'd flashed back like maybe 2 years ago, then I would be like, man, I'm really excited to play. I'm really invested, as Sim said, but I do feel like I've tempered my expectations now into saying like, when it happens, it happens. Like, let's just see what they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some hits and there's been some maybe things that, weren't as expected with the live streams lately, but all I still feel like it's forward motion. It doesn't feel like we're going backwards, or like you said, it doesn't feel like things are getting stopped.
Still feels progressive.
Things are moving. It just may be like a different pace, or we maybe are not getting as much visibility by design.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's my thing.
Yeah.
Go on, Homer. So.
Yeah. I just got being so hungry. I think I'm like always hungry for more information.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think that's what I said last time I was on. I was like, sometimes you might need to take a step back if you're like that far in, right?
Yeah.
Like they're still showing improvements, still showing what they're doing, but they're not going to give you a whole wiki page of the breakdown of every nook and cranny, because they want, Steven keeps saying he wants it to be self-discovery, and if he just says, hey, this is what we've done on every aspect of the game so far, then there's going to be no surprises, and it's just going to be like, oh, cool, I've played it now. Okay, cool. I've read about this. There's no real self-discovery in the game. So I get it.
Yeah.
I just can't wait till someone starts making wikis about it. Because as soon as someone starts making wikis, I'll be reading that. Like, I'll just be reading that on my off time. Like, reading it like a book.
Man. Yeah. I'm pretty, like, I'm very optimistic, right? I think that sometimes people, like, are like, oh, because I kind of tempered myself at this point, both in terms of, I think, content and in terms of like a lot of things around Ashes, because I think we're running at 7 years now, right?
Mm.
7, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. 17, 5. Oh, well, it's 7 years at the end of this year since I've been following it. Remember, Kickstarter was like summer of 2017.
Yeah, Kickstarter started in 2017, right?
Yeah, but some of us have been following since like the end of 2016, right? So
yeah, when they kicked off the project, it was like late 2016, right?
Yeah, that's when the website was leaked or whatever, or someone found it. I don't know if it was planned or not, but that's when I heard about it for my buddy. And anyway, point is like when you, at least for myself, when I've been this far into the game, I'm kind of, I'm tempered, man. When you're that far into it all, at this point, at least for me personally, it's like I'm pretty good to like kick back and just chill and wait a little while before I start to get too like, I'm not gonna say invested, but too dug into the energy that's being put into basically the game, because I've kind of come to this realization for myself personally, is like, until I'm really able to play the game, I need to really like limit myself, because I kind of made this promise to myself before when I kind of committed to Ashes. My commitment was, okay, Ashes is going to be my last big hoorah for an MMORPG. That's what I said. I committed myself to this, right? After that, I don't think I'm going to commit to an MMO again. And some people are like, oh, but you never know. And I'm like, no, I do. I got too many other things. I want to do one big hoorah and really dig in and really enjoy it and commit to it the way I've done with, quite frankly, World of Warcraft back in the day. I don't feel that The Elder Scrolls Online got as big of a commitment out of me as World of Warcraft did in terms of like time, energy, dedication, and all of that stuff. So my perspective is, if I'm going to actually commit that hard to Ashes, I also started to realize, you know what then I need to do? I need to wait till I can actually be in it and playing it before I push as hard as I've been pushing in a lot of ways. Because I don't feel like I'm actually in line with what I said I wanted to do personally when it came to Ashes. So I was like, that's part of the reason I'm kind of like, I've backed off in terms of like grinding content, grinding live streams around the Ashes category, grinding videos. I was like, I need to back off and I need to wait till like probably Alpha 2 to do more of this. Cause right now I want to save my Steam for that. I want to save it for Ashes when it's live. So I guess I'm kind of like just filling people in that maybe don't watch the podcast regularly if they've been kind of wondering. I haven't dipped. I'm just kind of like realizing I need to be true to my own vision for playing the game. Speaking of which, but I feel like the podcast is still a really great place for us to kind of keep up on the game, talk about it with people. Yeah. We're still doing it regularly. It's not changed, you know? So
like we're still following the project. We're still we're like updating the community on what's going on. Like that's the whole point of this podcast.
It's exactly.
Like, hey, this happened. Mm-hmm. And what do you guys feel about it? Like,
and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, why don't we dig into the rest of the dev outlines before we get to the next one that's coming up? I'm going to try to...
God damn.
I know. I'm going to try to get through this relatively quickly, because really we left off talking about... We talked about the mayor, the mandates, the mayoral commissions. We talked about policies. And we got to the point of talking about service buildings. And I'm just going to kind of... I don't really want to talk too much about this. There's basically active... I want to talk about the... part that maybe is new for people. Active buildings and passive buildings. So active buildings provide service or reason for player to visit them. Active building subtypes are like artisanship, business, content, and political. Passive buildings are things that related to node or zone of influence. And those are passive benefits to those things. And the subtypes are civic, cultural, fabrication, scholarly, and vocational. They talked about building expansions, like primary method for upgrading buildings is to expansion. Kind of talked about that with the mayor being able to like sort of start these initiatives to like get the citizens to sort of invest in helping with that. That included things like active building expansions, requiring passive buildings to allow for the expansions to be built, and then expansion trees, which they showcase that in the dev stream a good bit, and that the pathways may be exclusionary. So you need to build the same build multiple times in order to get access to multiple specializations of the pathway. They did talk about maintenance, which is kind of what it sounds like, gold node commodities such as gold and resources. And then disarray and repair also is based on what we're talking about, like with sieges and events, where those buildings can be degraded as a result of these events that could allow things to negatively impact them, i.e. attack them, etc. Early on when we talked about monster coins, that was a great example of something that could. And then destruction. Which is constructed buildings that can be destroyed by events or sieges. Again, monster coins, node sieges are good examples of that. Your thoughts, gentlemen, on those particular topics before we get into node village questions. Again, village was the stage that they were actually built up to. Wait, was it village or town? Town, right?
It was village, I thought.
Village, okay, because town, then village, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean... I do actually like their thought process around how buildings get upgraded in the sense of like having active and passive buildings. I think actually that does in my opinion, make it feel like there's a really, or at least there's a potential for really good, like, I don't say min-maxing, but, it, you know, choice and, like, you know, pros and cons to, like, weigh out as you're choosing buildings. Do we want to, you know, make our, you know, smithing, you know, building more, you know, more robust, or do we want to go with this? Like, what kind of, it's almost like in a way you're kind of specializing your node, and it gives like kind of a feel of the same type of agency you would have with your character player, but on a different scale. So I did like that. I like the idea of like their expansion trees. I think that's actually one of the things that got me most excited about like the node piece.
Ooh.
I mean, not that I'm ever going to be a mayor. Like, I'm not necessarily, like, that's not one of my life goals in Ashes. But it is nice to be able to kind of see that those are options that, you know, players can play with. And I think it's good as a citizen to be educated on those.
Agreed.
Because at the end of the day, you're going to be voting potentially on them, right? So kind of last week, I know we talked a little bit about, well, you know, most of the players aren't really going to see this. Yes and no, right? I mean, as a mayor, yeah, you're going to see the screen. As a citizen, you're not, but you're still going to need to know what makes sense and what doesn't in order to ensure your node, you know, hits that top tier status.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, revised my thinking on that as I thought about it a little bit more. But I do like that. That, for me, was like the standout in terms of node development that I thought was like that. Well, maybe not, you know, as unique, but it's still like a good way of taking it, I think. You know, a good way of at least designing it. So it's not just, oh, do I have a blacksmith or do I have like a cooking station or whatever it is? It's more like, you know, how can I really like ebb and flow this so it's got the right mix of things at the right level? How do I negotiate with maybe other nodes to make sure we're not, you know, if we don't want to, we're not competing with each other. So that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't want to be a mayor. Like, I just want to do my religious thing and just like keep serving my religion. I don't want to really be a mayor. Like, I don't think Sim wants to be a mayor from memory. Like, even for a flying mount. Like, no. Yes, you get a flying mount, but do you really want that?
I don't.
It almost, like, to me, it might feel like a chore. Like, it might not be a chore, but to me, it feels like extra responsibility where I don't want it.
Agreed.
Let me do my thing. Let me be an adventurer. Let me be a humble townsperson. Let me be the local cleric. Don't make me mayor.
For some people, murder bunnies, right?
Yep.
Basil, we're talking about you.
Yep. Let's let them hop in the field. Don't give them the top hat on the mayor.
Well played, my friend. Nobody likes an ass at a top hat. That's true.
Nah.
That's true. You know, true. Even if they have a monocle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. You could think it's the cool Monopoly guy, that's the whole topic, man. The Monopoly guy, you guys have heard about that. The whole, some people remember it with one thing and some don't. That's a topic for another time, but that's, yeah. But agreed. Yeah. Agreed. 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 I don't know. I think when we get the Q&A stuff, I'm just going to like bounce through the ones that seem most meaningful, but the Mandela effect. Thank you, Alfie. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of the stuff when it comes to the node, I mean, I feel like it's good because we got more details on it, but also like until we get to the point where it's testable, it's hard, really, really hard to know. Is it? It can look really good on paper, you know, like a lot of things. And then you get in there and you see it in action. You're like, this doesn't feel at all like I thought it was going to feel like when I read it. Because you kind of envision it a certain way where you reference something similar to another game you played, things like that. So it's really hard for me to know how I feel about the stuff. On paper, it sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty well aligned with what nodes are supposed to do and how they're supposed to evolve. And, you know, everything is node dependent, right? In this game. So... name of the podcast, you like that. Anyway, it's almost like I took the opportunity here. What's up?
I'd have one suggestion though. So you know how like the buildings get built up and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So people have suggested that like you should be able to see townsfolk like bring resources to that area, like so you actually know something's being built in that area. Even if it helps it like a little bit, I wouldn't mind carrying some of that resource myself, even if I did it for like 30 minutes, just to see I could actually impact it. Not sure if that would be manageable, but I feel like that'd be, homely, you know? Like, yeah, I've got nothing to do. I'll help out these NPCs build this thing. It's not going to do much, but I'll start carrying some stones and brick and wood just to help it out.
Yeah, I mean, New World did something like that, and that was actually kind of fun to be able to say, okay, hey, we want this building. It's like really going to help our town or what have you. Like being able to just spend like an hour or two just gathering materials is nice. Yeah, I agree.
Anything that makes the town more lively. I really hope those passive buildings you can walk into and not like, okay, this is a refinery thing for the smithy, but you can't walk in it. It just adds a passive buff. I hope you can still walk in it, and it's still like some smoke billowing and like hammers hitting animals and stuff, but like there's nothing really interactable in it, but it's still like a environment you can walk into, if that makes sense. So it's not just like a closed off box.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be good. And I did notice that it felt like the town had that feel of being kind of, you know, a live town. And I think that was good, right? Because I think one of the things we've like seen, like when we go into, I don't know, like even if like you World of Warcraft, right? The majority of the life there is players, and you don't necessarily get a sense of the world. And I like the fact that in what they showcased, like there was like active NPCs, and it was like things were happening and that kind of thing. I mean, it just populating the world with more than just players, I think is good, because it does give you that feel, like even if it's like maybe an off time when players aren't on the particular server. Right. So I do like that. Yeah, anything that the details are important.
Anything that makes you feel like you, like all the NPCs are standing there, not moving at all, just like stationary quest givers, is just like, nah, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't look right. I don't like having a whole bunch of merchants just standing there in like an idle style. It's just like almost T-posing, but they're just like, I'm straight down. Hello, adventurer. Would you like to see my wares?
Yeah, I was like in chat, like Alfina was talking about, it feels more organic when they're sort of like at, you know, like they're actually doing things. Like they might just be on their own little pat, you know what I mean? Their own little patrol points or whatever, spewing out dialogue, even if it's pop-up bubbles, you know, but like when you see that, it's like you get a sense that they're like actively engaged in being a part of the city or the node or whatever it is they're doing. I wanted to ask what you got.
That's what that duck was. That duck was a NPC animal that followed someone around it, walked past.
Yeah, which that's an extra layer of like what I'm talking about. Like that would be like if primary is like, you know, having like the people, like the NPC people walking around, then like secondary might be like something else, and then tertiary could be like little critters that decide they want to follow you around and tag along. Like that's like not something I would expect for the game to launch. Like
that's, no one even asks for that, but that's very much appreciated.
Absolutely.
Very much appreciated.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about buy orders before we get into the Q&A stuff. Probably we don't have a ton of time today, so I'm going to definitely talk about this, but they talked about buy orders are primary way for nodes to generate node commodities that can be spent on building construction, upgrades, and maintenance. This is something the mayors initiate using gold from the treasury, that the mayor can manipulate the parameters of the buy orders and how the commodities they are requesting, how long the buy order is active, and which materials are used to complete the buy orders, and how much players are rewarded. Players are rewarded for node currency, which we talked about, I think, last time a little bit too, and node rep for fulfilling buy orders, similarly to how they are rewarded for completing these other objectives that are done. For example, the mayoral commissions, I believe, is what it was. Yeah. But anyway, talking about that, the node currency stays in your inventory, even if the node is destroyed and is carried with you to your next node. That's interesting. I'm like, does the node currency have weight? The node currency lootable? As probably not, because it's not a gatherable, but like, would it potentially
only
be
the weight of your sins?
Yeah, inventory space.
Yeah. What if you like someone goes corrupt enough? Would this be something that's potentially dropping? I don't think it is, but that would be kind of a cool thing if it was. Just throwing that out there. That'd be, again, more tertiary. I know we're only talking about gatherables and gear, but if you wanted to throw node currency in there, that'd be kind of fun way to punish the griefers as well. Something I clearly would never do on a main character. What were you saying?
There's something we didn't mention. You didn't mention last time because you guys didn't watch that live stream.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about this being mentioned? Apparently, when you kill someone, like there's a whole black market scenario, and if you kill someone and then you take their loot is now like blacklisted loot, like it's like stolen goods, and you have to sell it at a black market. You can't actually just sell it at a normal vendor.
Mm.
So how does that feel?
So about like the corrupted people have to go to the black market, is what you're saying. I like that idea because it kind of really buys in. I mean, it's actually, it feels very Elder Scrolls, right?
That Thieves Guild sort of vibe, Dark Brotherhood sort of vibe.
Exactly. It's like you get that point where you got like, you're a pirate, you have to go to certain places to sell your contraband. I mean, that is my opinion. I think that's great. I actually like that. It also makes the world feel more alive.
So I'm just trying to work out how you can be a holy paladin and still PvP without, having corrupted goods. And maybe if it's a fair PvP fight, you might have corrupted goods. But if you kill someone and they don't fight back, that might be corrupted goods.
That's just gaining corruption no matter who you are. Why are we talking about paladin stuff all of a sudden? I feel like that's sort of weird.
I mean, they're the most righteous people, apparently. So like, I thought we'd just bring them up and try and like see how it's going to affect their oath, you know? You don't want to break your oath.
Oh my God,
it's very, very hard to break your oath unless you intentionally try to do it. Unless you intentionally try and break your oath, it's very hard.
I want to stress, especially when we talk about Baldur's Gate stuff that I've talked about previously, intentionally break your oath. Those two times it happened, it was not intentional. The first time, I didn't even know how I did it. I mistook the tiefling.
How could two times not be intentional? It feels like it's a pattern waiting to form. I don't know.
Sim lies today on Lies of Pete. Yeah, but that's the role. Pinocchio lies, homie. Come on, Alfina. Come on, homie. Like, you don't know your own oath, sir? No, I just don't know the exact parameters for the oath. They didn't specify the details.
I just signed it. I didn't read the terms and conditions. I just signed it for the powers. I didn't ask.
Yeah, I feel like Sim was like,
shit.
TLDR. let's cut some fools.
Do you want to know what's really funny? I'm not gonna lie, in Baldur's Gate I kind of wasn't mindful and I kind of felt like I took it that way the beginning a little bit. I didn't think about it very clearly like I did in tabletop, which I don't know why I didn't do that, because most games when you play a paladin you can get away with doing stuff unless it's
like,
caught.
It sounds like corruption.
Not what I'm saying I do normally.
I'm starting to see like a pattern here of loosening morals and
paladin sin. I'm not gonna go
thought about it before, but now you're like, whatevs.
You all make me so over this shit. I don't even care anymore. I'll go Dark Overlord. Fuck it. What? Or like the thief in Descendants? I can't confirm or not even know what that's about. Descendants, the first Descendant? I don't know, man. I'm just testing the game and showcasing all the options for people when I play, okay?
Apparently. Isn't that my whole thing? To explore the world, including the corruption side, and you're like, oh, that's bad. That's evil. You can't do that.
I see what you're doing. I'm not feeding into this. Are we ready for the Q&A stuff real quick? I feel like we should... I pinned it to the top of the chat. So if you guys want to just pick out questions that you feel like are... I'm going to kind of like open it up for the Q&A here and let's pick out the ones we really feel like we want to maybe talk about, because there were a lot of them and some of them like, can you kill guards at a node? Yes. However, that's the tall barrier to pass. Their skill level is pretty high. I mean, I feel like that's kind of a commonsensical thing for the majority of us who kind of know how guards work in cities in most games. That's kind of how it is, right? So maybe not focus on the ones that are super obvious for us, but the ones that maybe when we watched the developer live stream, we reviewed the Q&A, ones that we thought were really, you know, discussion worthy. So why don't I hit on this one? The first question on the village node update question, there was a question about how much player housing would be available in node, something that people were actually inquiring a lot about. This is one I think is worth bringing up. So those are capped by citizen dues, all right, which increase over time. Apartments are defaulted every node that and every node has access to those, but mayors can elect to expand the apartments to allow them to have more citizens and even different types, such as penthouses, which would all allow bigger and better furniture. The node stage will dedicate the number of static housing. Right now, they are still playing with the numbers. Not really decided upon yet, what I'm hearing. Relative number of accessible housing is as follows: freeholds, in node housing, apartments, and inns. So going from larger to smaller. So when I heard the penthouse style, I kind of wonder if that's what we talked about with getting a mansion and a node. They originally talked about an apartment sort of growing to being more mansion-like. So I think maybe we're just talking about penthouses, or maybe that's a stage along the way to a mansion. What are your thoughts about that, if you have any?
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that there's some options for bigger housing, because knowing that, you know, potentially, like, you know, freeholds could be fairly limited. Now, granted, the thought process is they're going to be pretty dynamic as nodes rise and fall, but I do like the fact that you can have something larger in terms of a space that, you know, I wouldn't say is guaranteed, but is purchasable without like having like a land grab scenario, which I still feel like is going to be something we're going to need to test to see how like bad that really is.
Yeah.
And I think they haven't been really able to answer the question at this point on what percentage of players really will get freeholds. So I would be, I'm glad they're providing a few different options for housing, depending on like how much time you have to invest. So at least you're not totally like losing out, but you're still, it's still like a matter of investment and progression, not just like everybody gets a freehold.
Yeah, we got to work out whether or not with the freeholds, whether you can support, like, pay the taxes, like, one person can earn enough to pay taxes off a freehold, or do, because there's a whole family system, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, is it necessary to have more than one person in a freehold to pay those taxes off? Like, because each investment property, or property, requires a particular amount of taxes to be paid on the land. So, since freehold is the largest, unless you're talking about the guild castles, is the largest, you'd think that it would be the most tax. So can one person farm enough to actually pay that tax off, depending on the tax bracket, of course. But like, that's my thing, is like, can you do it yourself, or are you gonna need at least another one or two people to help facilitate that growth, like not growth but the income gain? But I do remember everyone being concerned, like, oh no, I'm going to be homeless. I'm not going to be able to store anything or anywhere. Right. I'm just going to be living on the streets. No, you'll be able to find even like a little shack or something. But I'm glad there are larger buildings as well, because we are going to have a lot of loot to store. Oh, I do want to decorate my house and like decorative pieces that I've got from bounties and stuff, you know? And That's pretty much what I'm gonna say on that. What would you decorate your room in, Sim? Like any big piles of gold in the corner?
Oh my god! I was like, this feels like a trap question.
Flags of the enemies, or
he'll probably paint the walls with the blood of the innocent. I'm spitballing here.
On a particular character, that could very likely be the case. Yes.
Yeah. On an alt.
Yes. Possibly.
On the alt. I'm gonna laugh if paladins have a if you every time you break an oath, like you have to have like a sin in your backpack, like a sin is an actual thing, like it takes up a slot because you're it's carrying the weight of your sins that you've done, and it gets to the point where you're over encumbered and you have to break your oath.
Oh, it's fun. That would be an interesting notion, though, wouldn't it? If they played it out something like that for individuals who were oath breakers.
Gold piece jacuzzi.
Honestly, I always like, okay, so one thing in my whatever, like, number one, I kind of feel like I've been a little wasteful in getting things for freeholds, because now I don't know that I'd even really want one. And so I kind of was getting a lot of freehold stuff and things along the way, kind of working under the assumption that like it was going to be relatively achievable for regular players along the way. Now, I don't really know, because it feels like it's got to be more of a group effort. And without knowing that so far, and like almost 6 years now later, I'm kind of like, I don't know that I'd want to do a freehold. It sounds like it would take multiple people. It sounds like a lot of potential work. It sounds like it makes sense for, guilds and families and communities and stuff like that to do that. But then I'm also like, how's that going to balance with like guild halls and them being meaningful? Maybe the freeholds are going to be more of a family system thing and do it with your best friends or something. I mean, that makes sense. I don't know. But generally in housing, I like to have things like that. Like, okay, so a perfect example of what I would rock would be like the COVID event statue thing that they gave to people. Mementos that sort of represent like big wins is like the guild, or personal achievements in the game, like a PvP trophy maybe I get. Stuff like that for sure. And then the rest, I just like to have like a really nice aesthetic theme for housing would be my thing more than anything.
Like suits like armor stands that have my like favorite set in there. And that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
My favorite set in there.
Yeah, and you know, if you do, you'd probably have something that looks just like that one you got sitting in the background there. Dark cult leader outfit, minus the face, because it would be yours, or the mannequins.
I'm going to like have all the head priests of our religions and take their robes and have line them up in my room. it's going to be glorious.
All of the different sects of my cult, if you will. What were some questions that you guys wanted to pick off of that? Because a lot of these are not really big ones for me, but any big ones for you all that you wanted to pick off the list of questions there? Cult gathers.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot here. I mean, I do like the fact that they are thinking of like maintenance if somebody like has to dip out of the game, and like for mayoral stuff, like some decisions so that the node doesn't completely crash and burn or automatically generated by the system, which I think is good. I don't know how they're doing. Maybe that's like an AI thing that they're planning, or if it's like based on predicates on what's happening in the node. But that's interesting that they're building that in too. I mean, I do like the fact that, you know, you do have like a grace period before things get completely like destroyed if you have to take a break from the game. I don't remember if they mentioned it in here or not, but I do like the idea of prepaying taxes. So hopefully that they do allow you to do something like that. Because that was one thing, like, you know, land grab aside, I really liked in, you know, Arc Age 2 that you could prepay and you didn't have to worry about it if you're going on maybe a longer, you know, hiatus in terms of like a vacation or something like that.
I'd like a discount. If you pay in advance, I feel like you should get like a 5% discount or something. I feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
10% off.
Or even if you pay like for 2 months in advance sort of thing. Like same thing like with your Car Rego, like you can buy like a year worth, or you can buy like 6 months. But the year's like cheaper, but you got to pay more up front. I feel like that's... I'd do that. If you got the gold, why not?
You can swing it. I mean, I personally like to pay in advance so that I don't forget. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It helps me to eliminate this feeling of like I have to check it or be there right on a specific time. Like the job part of it is, if I prepay it far enough ahead of time and then I have the option to come in again sometime before it's over and do it again, then like I feel like there's a lot more flexibility in me keeping up with it. And, you know, it's not like I got to be there on this day and time to renew it, or has to be within this very specific window. Cause like, what if I'm doing something in life? Right. So I actually like that a lot, regardless of whether you get a discount or whatever and paying ahead of time. But I think that'd be a cool little addition to that, like sort of thing.
I think it would be cool to like, that could be another thing you could do in the app, right? If they end up going with it, cause I think they're still like along lines, they're going to do some sort of app. I think it'll be good to get like messages when you're close to maybe expiration on things. And again, that might be if you're more of a casual player and you're not like, you know, doing that login every day because, you know, it's second job. I think I would like to be able to see that. Or you could do something like that about taxes. So it's not like I have to log into the game, you know, to be able to do that, because that feels like it's more of a passive activity than going in and that you're playing the game. Like they talked about even doing like crop rotations on a freehold. That still to me feels like you're playing the game. Yeah. But like paying taxes, I think that's tedious. So I feel like that could be like a candidate for the app.
I feel like the app should be like, just getting a bit off topic, but the app should have like things that maybe anything that you could see like within the describe area where like the update, like the map or like certain events, like be like, oh, cool. Just like sort of like think of like your local newspaper sort of scenario, like, oh, this is updated. Okay. And it's like, this is how you deal with your mail. Like, you got this letter, that letter. Oh, you got to pay your taxes. Okay. Click done. Like, think of like if you're sitting down in the game, and what could you do while you're sitting down? You could read, you could file a few things. Like, that's what I think the app could do. Like, I reckon the app should be able to do some mayor things as well. The app thing is still up, and I don't want crop rotation in the app. I do not want not something I want.
Yeah, anything that's like an active like gameplay thing, like again, the tedious stuff, I would probably say
loops. Gameplay loops should be in game. You should be in game doing that, in my opinion too.
100%.
Yeah.
And the question that I saw was the customizing your own guards, like the guards of the city as a mayor.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Like they said about, there's another question saying all those guards be involved in the siege, but no, it's like a separate garrison that you can do for those NPCs to attack in the siege, or like defend in the siege. So it's different things, but I still like customizing them, have a different outfit them, like have their own like a golden outfit or like a dark roby outfit or whatever you want. Like, they've got their own uniform, and you know that like that a popo of this nerve, like that you mean business.
Yeah.
And,
so armored cells. So if in some reality you were ever to become the mayor of a node, like let's say a divine node, and you were able to outfit your guards, they'd all be cultists, wouldn't they?
Well, I'd hope that the guards don't have to be melee, right? I'd hope the guards can be like any class.
Yeah.
So it would be cool if they could be like all priest/mage or like can you imagine if they're all summoners? And you like try and attack a node, and, someone in a node, and they all just like summon a bunch of things, and it's not only just eight guards, now 8x8, so it's 64 bloody just things coming at you.
Get anti-siege summons.
Mm-hmm.
Power of 5 combined, and then they're all doing it.
I really hope it's not just melee guards, and you can like customize their class as well. That would be lovely. But if not, I'll just dress them up like oath-breaking paladins, if anything. If you can't make him non-melee, because like,
oh my god,
there's nothing else that would really fit, right?
It's kind of like the clones, like everything got cloned after, like, you know, Bubba Fett. This is kind of like everything's gonna get cloned after Sim, so your entire node is gonna be like a bunch of Oathbreaker paladins, you know, with the Persian oil and the whole nine yards.
That's right, baby.
If they can manage to like, I don't know if they've done it yet, but for the character, if you can get like a picture and like try to mimic it, you could totally customize all the NPCs to look like Sim. Like all the guards to look like Sim.
Okay.
Because they did it with Asmongold, right? They made him look like the old guy in the game.
You all are overplaying the importance that I have to these people, okay?
I mean, I know that there's got to be a way to do like a, you know, a Dark Lord preset or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can save presets, you know, that might be floating around. We just get somebody to do that, and then you can apply that to your guards, like have like a little NPC character creator.
That would be cool.
The idea of Sim being the default guard skin is just hilarious.
The big bag on their like hip,
intrepid,
right?
Hear us.
Oh my gosh. That would be a cool expansion DLC sort of thing to like, not necessarily right at the game's launch, but could you imagine how cool that would be if they were like, you can now customize your guards in like a patch one day or DLC for the game? And it was literally like mayors could go create presets for maybe different guard types, like ranged, melee, right? Something like that. And they could create like looks and actual appearances to sort of fit the theme of like whatever their community was like. That'd be cool.
Yeah, or using some sort of procedurally generated AI, you can set some parameters. Yeah. I mean, you can do some customization, mm-hmm. but that way, like, so, like, all your, like, say, for example, like, all your oath breakers aren't necessarily look like Sim. It could be, like, you know, different versions of Sim, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Not sure what just happened there, but my computer decided that it wanted to contemplate something as I was typing. I don't know, man. Like, I'm looking over the questions. I know we're kind of down to our time right now. Yeah, there's not really, like, a lot in the Q&A. I thought there'd be a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly it's on the note stuff, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah, which is stuff, a lot of it we've talked about. Yeah, like,
I've got to do my question for the next stream before.
Yeah, you better hurry, dude. You got to Wednesday, and so does everybody else watching right now. It feels like a good stopping point.
Good questions. We need some good questions.
Yeah, we do. We need some really good ones. So go to the forums, drop your questions on there. You got till Wednesday at 11 a.m. PDT. But any other final thoughts, you guys? I feel like this has been a pretty good discussion. Kind of like it's rounded things out. I don't really feel like there was a lot of Q&A stuff. I really feel really compelled to make sure we touch on, because I looked over all what we've been talking, and it's a lot of stuff I feel like we're all pretty well versed on around here. So for the sake of our podcast, I don't really want to rehash too much of the same thing we've talked about a lot over and over already anyway. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
No, not for me.
Oh, Hopes for the stream?
Pretty comfortable.
Hopes for the stream?
A new mob type. A new mob type for the waves.
Ooh, that would be nice. What about you, Daedalus?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see them, like, throw out some monster coin stuff. Like, if they're doing, like, events, I give us the monster coins. Just at least do that, like, have that be like, oh, like, it's almost like that whole, like, Steve Jobs things. Oh, one more thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, Steven's, like, jumping into a world boss or something.
I think he's just like, oh, we're killing him too easy. Hang on, let me just do something here. And he pulls out a monster coin and he turns into the, what was his name? The troll, the giant.
Tumok?
Tumok, yeah.
Tumok, yeah.
Yeah, he turns into Tumok and he just runs in there. Because then you'd also see the hotbar and the abilities and stuff as well. Like, it would bring up a whole new interface that we haven't seen yet.
Damn.
Fingers crossed. Cool.
Well, everybody, if you catch a podcast before the next developer live stream, definitely let us know what you'd like to see them doing. For me, I know I'm going to hit on this. I'd like to see the Tolnar, or potentially giving us a date to, like, play with the character creator, because I feel like the Tolnar is the race we have not seen yet. And I feel like,
yes,
it's kind of feels like it's about time, you know, compared to, like, everything else we've gone through. I feel like they got to be coming up soon, or at least I hope that they are. But that's
my race. I want to see what I'm going to be. I've already picked it, but I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I want to see it too, man. I really, really do. Everybody, much love to you all. And gentlemen, why don't you shout out your domains where people can find you when you're not on this podcast, huh?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at The Ashen Herald and on YouTube, youtube.com/TheAshenHerald.
And Armitel.
And you can find me on twitch.tv/armoredcell.
There you go. And friends, we might be at the end of today's podcast and show, but in closing, got to remind all of you, whether you listen to the show, you watch it on YouTube, you catch us when we're here live. Our bot's broken. But whether you catch us, you know, remember that you don't have to be on the round table here to be a Pathfinder. It's literally all of you that are part of the journey. We're on here together. So much love to all of you, to Intrepid Studios. And until next time, live your best lives, walk in the light. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.
Take care, everybody.
See you next week.